Morning, church. It's good to be with you. Grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who calls us to be his church here in this place this morning. What a joy it is to be with you. Will you come with me into Scripture this morning? Into the book of Corinthians, the 11th chapter, beginning with the 23rd verse, Paul's letter to the people in Corinth. And the words that he speaks to them are words that he speaks to us today by the Holy Spirit. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Jesus is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Pray with me, friends. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit. We have heard your word. We receive that word by the power of the Holy Spirit. Allow it to permeate our hearts, our minds, and transform us to look more like you each day. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been in the midst of a series, and sometimes I forget at the end of my sermons to say the Apostles' Creed, but we are in the midst of a series on the Apostles' Creed, going into the home stretch, and we are in the midst of life in the Holy Spirit. We believe in the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit allows us to be part of this thing called the church. In fact, the Creed calls it the Holy Catholic Church. And that Catholic Church sometimes confuses people because they think that when we refer to the Catholic Church, we're referring to the Roman Catholic Church with all of its pomp and circumstance and the Pope and the great history of that church for thousands and thousands of years. And so sometimes we Christians think, well, we're Protestants and they're Catholics, or we're Catholics and they're Protestants, and we can't get along together because we have fundamental differences on how we understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then in the Protestant churches, we get into these issues as well. Well, we can't get along with them. They're the Presbyterians, or they're the Lutherans, or they're the Methodists, or they're the Baptists. And how can we get along with them? We have fundamental differences on how we view the gospel, how we view the church, how we view the way we live our lives. And then within those individual churches, those big branches of Lutheran and Presbyterian and Methodist and Baptist, there are 100 different other breaks within the church that want to talk about, well, I don't agree with that particular branch of Baptist because we believe this about God. And we can't get along with those Lutherans over there because we Lutherans over here believe these things about God and these things about the church. So we can't get along. Until it seems like the church is fractured and broken beyond repair. But that's not God's intention for us, is it? God doesn't want us to be separated. God, through Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, wants us to be united as one. Does that mean that we have to all go to the same church? Well, no, we wouldn't all fit. We'd have to build more. And does that mean that we're going to get along with every individual detail of every other church that is out there? Of course not. That's impossible. Even within the bonds of a single church, there are people on different sides of issues, people who disagree on different things. Some people don't like the color of the carpet. I like it. No other church has orange carpet. I like it. No, but you know what I'm talking about. We'll disagree about the way that we view politics, the way that we take communion. I like it in the pews. I like it to go up front. I like it, you know, different ways that we disagree about things. But are those differences stronger than the gospel of Jesus Christ? That Christ has come into the world while we were yet sinners and has redeemed us from our sin. And yes, we do sin, and we do fall short, and we have no way within ourselves to raise ourselves up to Jesus. And so what does Jesus do? He reaches down to us. And he gets down on our level, and he lives a life with us and walks along with us. God has reached out to us. And then Jesus had his disciples. And if you think that long ago the church used to be all united in one, and boy, we all just get along, read the Gospels sometime. And read how the disciples themselves had arguments over different things. In fact, as they were walking down the road one day, they had an argument about who was the greatest. Well, I'm the greatest because Jesus loves me more. Well, I'm the greatest because I believe these things about Jesus, and you guys are all left behind. And Jesus turns around and says, what were you arguing about? Oh, nothing, Jesus, nothing. We're just getting along. And Jesus says, if you want to be first in my kingdom, if you really want to be great, make yourself a servant of the lowest and the least, and then you'll really be great in my kingdom. You think that Jesus sometimes looks at our squabbles between, you know, Presbyterian and Methodist and Baptist and Catholic and Orthodox and all of these things, and all of us arguing, and you think sometimes he says, what were you arguing about for all those centuries? What were you arguing about on this road of life that has caused such division among you? What were you arguing about? Oh, sure, we were arguing that we were greater than the other churches, but no. Just, you want to be great. You want to be a great church. You want to be a great example to the world. Then make yourself a servant. Make your church a place where you're a mission, and we don't keep it here. We get out of this place, and we go, and we spread the gospel to everybody that we meet. Then you're going to be great. Then you're going to be a great church, a great denomination. We're going to set an example to the world. Jesus isn't concerned with our petty squabbles about individual, which church is better than that church, and this church is better. No. No, Jesus is interested in us listening to him, doing the things that he says, and going into the world and making disciples for Jesus Christ, which will transform the world. I probably know more Calvin and Luther just as much as I know Wesley, because they have something to teach me. They have something that I need to know more about what they believe, so that I can believe and understand what I believe even more. It's good to rub up against somebody who disagrees with you, so that you can sharpen your own intellect, sharpen your own knowledge of why you believe the way you believe. Even atheists have something to teach us. In fact, some of the most staunch atheists in the world were previously Christians. But they see all the division, all the pettiness, all of the rancor that we have among each other, or maybe they're personally wounded and hurt, and they walk away because it's too painful to be part of something that can cause such hurt within their lives. Have a conversation and try to understand, how did you get to where you are? Not so that you can say, okay, so now I have the answer for you. Ta-da! It's Jesus. No, but so that you can understand better why you believe what you believe, and have the kind of conversation, have the kind of relationship with somebody who totally disagrees with you, so that you can have really deep conversations about things that you would never expect from somebody who totally disagrees with you on so many levels, but yet God has not given up on even the most staunch atheist. God's not given up on them. They might have thought they gave up on God, but God hasn't given up on them. And God's working through them. And God's going to always reach out, try to bring them back, because God knows that that's the place where they can be made whole and healed again. I love the church. I have served the church all my life, and I love the Methodist Church. It's a great place to be. We have a lot of respect for each other in the Methodist Church. I know Methodists that totally disagree with me on so many things, but are some of my very dear friends who help me to understand deeply what it is that I do for a living. My first work in the church, as being a paid person, I was the custodian of Carmichael's First United Methodist Church. I used to scrub pews. I used to mow grass. I used to do empty trash cans. I even used to collect the bats that would get into the church. And they would fly around up top, and they would always tend the rest on the fans. That's where you would find them. Everybody looked when I said that. Here was the thing. I would get a bag, and I hear the best way to get a bat nowadays is to use a tennis racket because they can't sense it, and you hit them. But I used to get them in a bag, and I'd reach up there with a big long pole, and I'd scoop up the bat, and I'd take them out. And I would say, how do we keep these bats from getting into the church? How do we keep these bats from coming back in? And my pastor, who was a little cynical, he said, well, baptize them and make them a member of the church, and we'll never see them again. It's true, though, isn't it? The church isn't some organization that we join. The church is the people who are gathered here. Whether I don't know your membership status, whether you have been a member of this church for 80 years, whether you have been attending but not a member, I don't know and I don't care. And God knows, but God doesn't care either. God just knows that His Holy Spirit has called you here to be a part of His church in this place today. And He's calling you to be the church when you leave this place today. And He's calling you to come back, to continue to live as the church, so that church is the place that you want to be, because I can't imagine being any place else on a Sunday. And when something comes up and I have to miss, then I feel like there's something missing in my week. And I got to find some way to get connected to God on a deep level. And God knows your life is hard. God knows your life is busy. And God knows that your Sunday is a day that the world will try to take. Very much so, isn't it? The world wants that Sunday. The world wants that time. But if you can't make it here, find some way to connect with God. Find some way to give more of your time, not less, more of your time, because this is the best place to be. There's no better place to be on a Sunday morning than right here. But if you can't make it here, don't let a week go by without finding a connection to God on some deeper level than lip service. Find some way to engage the one who loves you so much that He would send His Son to die for you so that you can be with Him forever. Because if you can't do it for an hour on a Sunday, then what are you going to do for all eternity? And God unites us through His body, through this bread and this cup, which we will partake in today, reminds us it's Christ's body and it's Christ's blood that redeems us. And when we go into the world, that is our identity. It is found in Jesus Christ. God loves you, and so do I. Let's pray. God, we give You thanks. You give us Your church. And You give us the opportunity to worship You here in this place. And God, we pray for those who, for whatever reason, can't make it here today. We pray that they will find a way to connect with You very deeply this week. We find that they will want to be connected to their fellow brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ here in this place. And that You will, by Your Holy Spirit, make us one. Not only one as this body of the church, but with all the body of Christ all around the world. We are one in Your Spirit, and we are one in the grace of Your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.